I promise that it's not your fault you fell for it. Cause one little fight breaks into war. Feels like you're dying on a bathroom floor. You'll make an excuse, they'll say that it's you, and the mirror's telling you it's true. Won't leave, can't stay. How much are you gonna take? Cause you'll always get the blame. It feels like that's just how it is when you love a narcissist. So if you're feeling crazy, I wouldn't be surprised. The only thing they're good at's knowing how to gaslight, then make you feel like you're the most beautiful in the world while they're sleeping with another girl. And after 6 months you'll feel really stupid. I promise that it's not your fault you fell for it. Cause one little fight breaks in. Feels like you're dying on a bathroom floor. You'll make an excuse, they'll say that it's you, and the mirror's telling you it's true. Won't leave, can't stay. How much are you gonna take? Cause you'll always get the blame. It feels like that's just how it is. So I know how it is when you love a narcissist.
When I was growing up, I was among the 1 in 6 American kids who struggle with hunger. And hungry mornings make tired days.
Grumpy days.
Bleh, kind of days.
But with the power of breakfast, the kids in your neighborhood can think big and be more.
We're not hungry for breakfast. We're hungry for more.
More ideas.
More dreams. More fun.
When kids aren't hungry for breakfast, they can be hungry for more. Go to hungeris.org and lend your time or your voice to make breakfast happen for kids in your neighborhood.
What do your fake fashions say about you? Those fake cosmetics? That fake scarf? That fake purse? They say,
I'm a phony.
They say,
I support the criminal organizations behind the fakes. And this fake lipstick says I may have put harmful chemicals on my lips. So I say, enough.
Isn't it time you got real? Fake products do real damage with real consequences. Buy from legitimate sources. Go to ncpc.org.
Your password isn't secure. There's nothing that a hacker loves more, but there's an easy thing you can do to prove the logger in is you. Authenticate, strong authenticate. Make your logins extra safe. Protect your identity from tragic fate. Authenticate, strong authenticate. Use your fingerprint, your face, or a code. Home or work or on the road. 2 steps are safer than 1 or 3 or 4. And keeping data safe is so much fun. Authenticate, strong authenticate. Make your logins extra safe. Protect your identity from tragic fate. Authenticate, strong authenticate.
From hosts, producers, and our technical crew, Sidewalks is produced by a creative group of individuals. We hope you continue to watch us on TV and visit us on our website. Thank you for being a part of Sidewalks Entertainment.
A very big shout out to today's guests, Arden Cho and Dominic Sherwood. I don't know about you guys, but those two on screen are just fantastic. If you haven't seen the Netflix series Partner Track, definitely check it out. It is streaming now on Netflix. A very big thank you to our audience. Thank you so much for watching. If you missed any of today's interview, you can catch the entire interview on our website at sidewalkstv.com. That's it for me. I am out of here. I will see you next time. Take care.
There's nothing more hollowing than knowing that somebody died because of something that you did and have done a bunch of times and gotten away with. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would wind up in prison from drinking and driving.
In September on Elevating Denver, a conversation with the Luna family.
In retrospect, I'm so blessed.
Examine art that encourages mental health.
I hope seeing all this work, it's like, it's okay to reach out for help.
And make time to appreciate Denver's elephants.
The largest all-male bachelor herd in North America.
Those stories and more on the next episode of Elevating Denver.
Welcome to the Finance and Governance Committee of Denver City Council. This meeting of the Finance and Governance Committee begins now.
PM. This is the Finance and Governance Committee of Denver City Council. I am Amanda Sawyer, representing District 5. I'm chair of this committee. And before we go ahead and get started, why don't we welcome our council members? And I believe we've got a council member online.
Good afternoon, Candy Sadabaka, District 9.
Great, thank you. And we'll start all the way down at the end on my left.
Good afternoon, Paul Cashman, South Denver, District 6.
Good afternoon, Kendra Black, District 4.
Jamie Torres, District 3.
Chris Hines, Denver's Perfect 10.
All right. Well, this afternoon we have two council members who are going to be presenting for us. The first one's an action item, 1098. Council Member Cashman, do you want to... Oh, I see you're moving. I was going to ask you whether you wanted to stay or go to the podium. It's up to you. Yep, I think today is going to be a quick one, but really appreciate it. So, Councilmember Cashman, take it away.
All right, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Colleagues, good to see you all. Very strange to see you from this position on planet Earth. What I'm bringing forth today, as the title says, is simply making an addition to the notification portion of the RNO ordinance. Adding notice of metropolitan district applications to the RNO ordinance notification items. The second slide there shows you I asked the Department of Finance to present us with a list of the metro districts that have been filed in recent years, and it's about 20, 25 districts over the past three, four, 5 years. Finally, these easily readable on the screen is a list of what is currently required for RNOs to be notified. The reason I chose metro districts to add to the notification list is I had contact from a number of constituents. You know, there seems to be two views of the Metro District discussion. One is it's between the property owner, the developer, and the people who choose to participate in that district. Then the flip side of that is a lot of people think that it has a more broad effect on the taxing structure throughout the community. So quite simply, I'm asking my colleagues to approve that we add notification of a Metro District application to the list. What was explained to me by our attorneys, the wording of the bill actually talks about notification taking place within 10 days after a letter of intent to apply is received, rather than waiting for the actual application. So that is how that would take place. And that is what I've got to offer you this afternoon.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we go ahead and start with council member questions, and we'll go to council member Leck.
Thank you, Councilman Cashman.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about something you just said. You said some community members had concerns about broader tax implications or something. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the idea is, as it's been presented to me, is when taxes are increased in one part of town, their belief is it can roll over and affect taxation in other areas. That is what's presented to me. In any event, for me, it's a taxing proposal. I think it makes sense for our residents to know, so they have time to react to it in case they either want to lend support or state opposition.
Okay. I don't mind people being informed, of course. I just wonder if there's if people don't understand what it is, because you only pay it if you own property in the district.
Yes, ma'am, I understand that to be true.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Council President Torres.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much, Councilman Hines. I think this, Hines. You're next, Councilman Cashman. I'm wondering, what are the other steps at which community is notified, or are there any other, as the Metro District gets kind of developed along the way? Is it when we finally do a vote or a hearing?
The only notification that this would imply is when the application is received.
Yeah, and I support that. Just wondering, what's currently notified? Is it just when it gets all the way down the line?
Well, currently, there's no notification that goes out to the RNO structure. It's just if people are paying attention to our council agendas, then they'll pick that up.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yes,
thanks,
ma'am.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions, but just want to make sure that there aren't any other questions in the queue. Doesn't look like it. And this first question, I think, is for probably Anshul. I just want to confirm, Metro districts and the laws around Metro districts are governed by the state of Colorado and not the city. Is that, just can you confirm that for me?
Yep. Anshul Bhagat, Legislative Council, that's correct, Council.
Yep.
Okay, great, thank you. And Metro districts are generally used as a financing tool for a developer who's purchased a parcel of property and wants to build out infrastructure and then charge property owners within the boundaries of that Metro district. Okay. So like a general improvement district works the same kind of way, right? I mean, essentially, or a bid for that matter, the organizations or businesses or residents get together, choose to tax themselves, and then that pot of money is split equally for projects that are determined by the board that manages the bid or the JID or whatever. Are any of those kinds of organizations noticed to our RNOs?
No, they're not. The reason I focused on the Metro District is, as it's explained to me by the attorneys I've spoken to, the power that goes to a developer in creation of a metro district is substantially more than for general improvement districts and other special districts. So it's kind of an animal unto itself in that regards.
Okay, appreciate that. And I'm very supportive of this. It's just really kind of based on your response, the first time that a financing tool has been identified as something that it needs is. Notification.
This is the first department. If you take a look at the list of what gets notified, this is the first notification for the Department of Finance.
Okay, so it will come from the Department of Finance, not from CPD.
That is my understanding. It would come from the Department of Finance because that's where the letter of intent goes.
Where it's filed is in the Department of Finance. Okay, that's great. I see Councilmember Hines has a couple of questions, so go ahead.
Thank you, Council Chair. Committee Chair. Thank you, President Torres, as well for all your hard work. You mentioned that you compare the metropolitan districts with bids and JIDs, and I hear your comment. I think one thing that is interesting about metropolitan districts as a difference is that bids and JIDs, those organizations exist, and they come together. The businesses, for example, at that time, they exist and they come together and they say, we want to be taxed more. Metropolitan districts, the developer is saying, I want to tax people who don't know that they're about to get taxed because when the district is set up, no one's there. So I think it's even more important for it to be transparent because they're basically telling people we are authorizing taxation without anyone even being present. So I want to thank you even more because of the additional context that you provided. I think this is good for additional visibility. So thank you.
Your point's well taken, Councilman. They in the case of a metro district, they set up the rules. People do have the freedom to say, well, I don't like that taxing level, I'm not going to move in. But it does give the board of directors, which is, as I know we've all heard along the way, can be very, very limited in its scope, a great deal of power.
Well, and to your point, we have a housing crisis and affordability crisis in the Mile High Income City. And so, people do have the luxury of choice to decide not to be taxed at that level should they not want to, but we have landlords upping people's rent by $200 a month every year or more. And so when they think of the number of basis points of additional tax, I think that isn't at the utmost of residents' minds, as an example, or even businesses. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councilmember Hines. Want to welcome Councilmember Ortega to the meeting as well. I am supportive of this as well. I think it's an interesting idea. I think it's a thoughtful idea. I do want to be careful that we don't go down a path where we are requiring notification of, you know, how someone is paying for something, how a developer is paying for a development, or it feels a little like a slippery slope, and I absolutely understand why an application for a metro district makes sense in the context that we're discussing it in, but I am a little bit concerned about the potential for using this as precedent to, you know, take it even further. And I think that's not where the government should get involved, right? But I do really appreciate this notification requirement. I think it's valuable for the surrounding RNOs. And certainly we get a lot of questions in our office, and I imagine you do too, for large areas like this that are using this one particular financing tool. So really appreciate it. Gonna just, I've got a mover from Councilmember Hines, seconder by Council President Torres. Anyone have any objections, or are we moving this forward? looks like no objection. So thank you very much, Councilman Cashman, and this will move forward to the floor.
I can't hang out here at the dais anymore.
I mean, if you want to, please feel free. And next up, we've got Councilmember Hines. This is not an action item, but a briefing. And Councilmember Hines, I see that you are trying to get to the podium and it is not particularly accessible for wheelchairs. If you would like to stay at your desk and do your presentation from there, you're more than welcome to.
It's been a long time since, thank you, committee chair. It's been a long time since I've experienced the witness stand, so I figured I'd give it a try.
You're more than welcome to stay there if that works for you. Do you need some assistance with moving the presentation, hitting the buttons?
I didn't come with a presentation, but thank you.
Okay. So no on the presentation. Can everyone, I just want to make sure everyone can hear you based on the location of the speaker on the, or the microphone on the.
Yeah, can you?
Good.
Tech services, or DMMS? Super, okay. So so thank you, colleagues, for allowing me to present this proclamation. The proclamation is related to Medicare for All. I currently am a Medicare and Medicaid recipient, currently today in the state of Colorado. I can participate in Medicaid buy-in, and so I have an interesting perspective in this proclamation in that I worked for corporate America, I had private insurance for a long time, but after I sustained my crash in 2008, the type of injury that I have, which is a spinal cord injury, fast tracks me for approval to Medicare, and so I've been on Medicare since about 2011, and then I joined Colorado Medicaid a few years after that. This has been an interesting journey for me because when I had my crash in 2008, I didn't even have a primary care physician. I was an athlete, I was a runner, a soccer player, I was on three soccer teams, and I didn't really have a need for health insurance or for a doctor. I recall even asking my employer in 2007 if I could opt out of the premium for short and long-term disability. My employer said no, and that was one of the best decisions that my employer gave me at the time because clearly I ended up using short and long-term disability. But I have experienced the healthcare system from the private side, I've experienced it from the public side, and I am so lucky to not have to worry about medical bankruptcy. Biggest reason people file for bankruptcy is because of medical debt, and the majority of people who have medical debt that declare bankruptcy have insurance. And so this is a tough situation in our country where we're the only industrialized country that does not have universal health care. It is tied to employment, which allows our employers to have stronger control over employees, and I truly believe that our safety net systems, such as health insurance, really should be decoupled from where you work. I shared this proclamation, the text of the proclamation, a few weeks ago. I think maybe more than a month ago. So. And I didn't get any comments about changing the proclamation, and so, but because this asks council to take a position for our state and more likely our federal counterparts, I'm presenting it here in committee to see if we have any thoughts, concerns, or comments. So, please, I'm happy to open the floor to questions, should colleagues have any.
Great, thank you, Councilmember Hines. I'm just taking a look. Council President Torres.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Councilman Hines. I just wondering, fully support, thank you so much for sharing your story and really highlighting, I think, the medical need, even before the pandemic, but certainly highlighted by the pandemic of what a poor healthcare, poor access to healthcare can mean to the entire country. Curious though, what's the federal status of this conversation?
So I believe this has been introduced in years past, but it hasn't gone. I don't believe it's ever come to a vote yet before either of the branches of the legislature at the federal level. The group that is advocating for Medicare for All here in the state of Colorado is working with a national coalition to get municipalities to sign on to this proclamation. City of Fort Collins has already signed on to a very similar proclamation. The sponsors, the advocates rather, I guess I'm the sponsor, the advocates were interested in, this kind of set of whereas clauses. They're also very interested in the text of Section 1 to be preserved, because that has been the standard for these proclamations in various municipalities around the nation. So really, the hope here is to is for us as a council in the city of Denver to provide additional support for our state and federal counterparts, so that they can feel more comfortable advocating for, introducing and voting for this sort of thing at the federal level.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Let me check and see if there are any other questions. Great, thank you very much. Council Member Hines, any last minute comments or thoughts? I don't have any questions for you.
Thank you, and I would love your support.
Okay, great. And actually, I do have one comment for you. I really just wanted to mention that I appreciate your willingness to come to committee and highlight this and talk it through and share your story and also your passion for why this is important for Americans across the country and what Denver as a city and us as a city council can do to help move that conversation, move the needle on that conversation. So.
Yeah, and thank you. And while I'm sharing my story, and it happens to have a disability angle, there are so many segments of our society, local different demographics that would benefit from Medicare for All, or improve Medicare for All. So it's not just from the disability angle.
Yep, really appreciate that. And Councilmember Hines, also want to note, we are going to see if we can talk to facilities about taking out one of the benches here to make the area in front of the podium better accessible for you. So yeah. I appreciate that I'm sitting behind you and, just wanted to flag that as well. Thanks for bringing that to our attention.
The podium, actually, there's several inches of space. I wonder if the podium could just be moved a little bit.
Yep, I don't know, but we will go ahead and ask facilities to take a look at it. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. And this is a briefing, so no need for any movement on that. Since this is a briefing, do you have a timeline for when you plan to file the proclamation?
Since I haven't received any concerns from colleagues here, I think. I think I'll rely on Marquesia and the availability of the calendar. So I don't. Do you have a sense on when this might could be read?
Let's see. Sorry, I am pulling the calendar up here. We do have a space this coming Monday, the 19th, if we have everything ready by this Thursday at noon, or we can look at October.
I would prefer October to give the proponents time to plan to come here.
That's great. We do have October 3rd, which is that first week, if you want to hold that. And of course, that's, you know, you can, that's flexible for you.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, we'll go ahead and put a hold on that for 10-3.
Thank you.
Great. Really appreciate it. Thanks, Councilmember Hines. Just want to bring committee members' attention to consent items. There are a few appointments that are going through, but if there are no other questions, then we stand adjourned.